Good morning. Now that you've answered all those questions, I don't need to preach on it. So, now shall we pray as we begin? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. Would you teach us this morning? Would you encourage us? Would you lift our heads? In Jesus' name, amen. So, put yourself in the position of the disciples of Jesus. Once upon a time, they were going about their very unspectacular lives, each in their different ways, then encounter Jesus. The fisherman puts down his net and follows him. The tax collector leaves his job and follows him. Each of them, their lives dramatically changed because they encounter Jesus. And they decide to follow him, not necessarily an easy decision, because they believe the Messiah has come. And momentum builds around Jesus, and they listen to his teaching, they witness his miracles. This is him, this is it. The one that's going to redeem Jerusalem and put things right. And then one day, he's killed. What must the disciples have thought at that point? Surely he can't die, he's just getting going, isn't he? Had they followed him wrongly? Had Jesus just been defeated? Lots of thoughts must have been going through their head. Well, that's where we meet Cleopas and another of Jesus' followers who seems to have no name. Walking on a road away from Jerusalem, the road to Emmaus, the third day after Jesus has been killed. It's Easter Sunday. They're confused. They're doubting. They're questioning. They don't know what to think. Verse 13 to 15 then. It's coming on the screen if you can see it. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Jesus himself came. He's there. He's risen from the dead. You don't need me to tell you. That's huge. This is one of the first post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. And I just want to pause and dwell on that for a minute before we look at the passage, because the resurrection changes everything. It has huge implications for all of us. In fact, early Christians might well have cheered and celebrated as this verse was read. Jesus was there on the road to Emmaus. The resurrection changes everything. Briefly, before we get into the passage then, two things that the resurrection confirms for the disciples and for us. Number one, who he was. Some say a prophet, some say Elijah. Cleopas has misunderstood who Jesus was too. In the passage he says, Jesus is a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God. Well, the resurrection proves him to be higher than any man or prophet or messenger. It shows him to possess another nature, to be down among the dead, but to rise victorious, never to enter a dead man's tomb again. Death defeated, the king is alive. The resurrection confirms what his life suggested, that truly Jesus was God. So what's it confirm? Number one, who he was. Number two, briefly, why he came. The resurrection confirms why he came. Why did he come? To rescue us from the wages of our sin, the consequences of our own sin, which is death. He conquered death and the grave for each one of us. It says in 1 Corinthians, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. But, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. So in Christ, all will be made alive. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Joe and I were at a funeral on Monday of a Christian woman from our old home group who was very dear to us. And her brother at the front of this funeral said, she is more alive now than she has ever been. Why? Because Jesus rose, and so will she. Sorry to go in heavy straight away this morning. Ben told me on the way to our half marathon last week, I kept saying I'm going to be talking next week, and he said, no, you're going to preach. You're going to preach. So here I am, preaching. So Jesus is there on the road to Emmaus. And a common question at this point, for me at least, was why does Jesus appear to these people in this place on Resurrection Day? We took our kids, Sam and Matty, last week on a tour of the King Power Stadium. I've got my football reference in. And we saw a great big picture there of the victory parade in 2016 when Leicester shocked the sporting world and won the Premier League. About 300,000 people or so on the streets of Leicester and in Victoria Park celebrating, including me. Why didn't Jesus do that when he rose? Big victory parade on an open-top bus through Jerusalem. To be honest, I don't really know the answer, but he doesn't think like me, thankfully. And we can learn a lot about Jesus from the Road to Emmaus story. So a few quick points then from our passage. There's loads you can talk about in this passage, and I'm struggling to stick to one thing. So I'm going to briefly skim over the passage this morning. 3 points. Number one, he walks along with us. Ben just touched on that earlier. He walks along with us. Verse 15 says, Jesus came up and he walked along with them. They don't recognize him yet, but there he is. One of the first things the risen Jesus does is to walk alongside people who are struggling and doubting. This is our God. Whatever we're feeling, wherever our heads are at, he walks with us on our own journeys, our strength and our comfort. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is with you. The Lord bless you and keep you, says the song. Do you know his presence walking with you this morning? I'm very good at forgetting it. We've had a busy start to 2023, Joe and I. We've both got new roles in our work, and life is generally busy. And I said to Joe this week, I feel like a lemming at the minute, just going through the motions, walking from here to there. Get up, get washed, get breakfast, get the kids ready, drop the kids off at school, go to work, pick the kids up, sort out their dinner, tidy up their house, do a bit of life admin, maybe sit in front of the TV for a bit, then go to bed, then repeat the process the next day. I'm sure you may relate whether you've got kids, whether you're in work or not. I can go through a whole day without maybe giving a second thought to my faith or to Jesus. But we are not lemmings. Jesus walks alongside us. And he wants to be involved in my life and in yours. We can't escape his mercy and love. He wants to help in struggles, to bring me joy, to be my strength. On Friday, I was writing this, and I intentionally went about my day conscious that Jesus was walking with me. And do you know what? It changed my approach. I spoke to him in the morning and throughout the day. I considered him a bit more in how I responded to people. And do you know what? It was a really fulfilling day. I got loads done, but I also just had purpose about my day. And I had a couple of opportunities to talk about my faith. He is walking with you. He is next to you. So don't ignore him. Involve him. Walk with him. Point number one, he walks alongside us. Point number two, he points us to his word. As the two followers of Jesus doubt and despair, they're forgetting scripture and lacking faith in what they've been taught. Jesus says, how foolish you are and how slow to believe that all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. For Christ first must suffer, and then he is glorified. He points us to the word. The word of God has the answers. It's God-inspired. The Bible is the most owned book, apparently, on planet Earth, more than Harry Potter. But statistically, it's also apparently thought to be the least read book relative to the number of copies issued. That's depressing, isn't it? It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Jesus often quotes it in response to challenge. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book of strength and comfort as we go about our journeys ourselves. It gives us purpose as it reveals God's master plan to us. He points us to his word. Let's open it up every now and then. Cleopas and his friend find themselves drawn to this man on the road to Emmaus. Verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us? They still don't recognize him, but they're compelled as he opens up the word. Their response, what was their response? Stay with us. Number one, he walks alongside us. He points us to the word. And number three, he opens our eyes. Jesus still hasn't revealed himself at this point. They hear what he has to say. They're compelled by him on the road. And so crucially, what do? They invite him to dinner. Jesus is walking beside us. What does he want from us? Simply faith enough to invite him in. And he will open our eyes to the great news of the resurrection and what it means for each of us. Doubt to certainty, despair to hope, guilt to forgiveness, death to life. Let's be inviting him in daily, putting our faith in him daily as he walks along with us. He will open our eyes more and more to the great news of the resurrection. He walks alongside us. He points us to the word. He opens our eyes. After their time with Jesus, these two followers go and share with the other disciples what they've come to see and believe. And Jesus reveals himself to other disciples too. And now this group of unspectacular people have all they need to begin their ministry to the rest of the world, a ministry that we're part of too. He walks along with us. He points us to the word. He opens our eyes. As part of that ministry, aren't those 3 points a great starting point for how we can help in that ministry? That we walk along with our friends, that we get alongside them. And that when the opportunity comes, we're honest with them. We share the word with them. We share what we believe. And we trust, we have faith that Jesus will open their eyes to the amazing truth of the resurrection. Why does Jesus not have a victory parade on an open-top bus through Jerusalem? Maybe it isn't quite personal enough for our God, a God of relationship. Jesus promised to show himself to those who trust in him. And in that day, and in the days after the resurrection, that's exactly what he's doing. True to what he says, he shows himself and he opens their eyes. I'm going to pray as we finish. Father God, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you we follow a risen, victorious King. I pray that we would involve you as you walk with us. That we would depend on your word. We would trust the words we read. That we would be faithful in reading our Bible. That you would open our eyes. And as part of your ministry, may we be witnesses to this. May we share this and take our opportunities to speak of this great news with others. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.